And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Well, we've got another powerful edition of Power of Prophecy available today. You know, God told us how everything was going to happen. And I think Revelation is very important. It's the last book in the Bible. This is how everything ends up with the children of God, that's you and me, being beleaguered, being besieged by Gog of Magog. Oh, you didn't read that in the Bible. That's Revelation 20. Who is Gog? Who is Magog? Well, get our book, Matrix of Gog, and it'll all come clear to you. I say our book. We published it, of course. But you'll see the real author there. Wonderful man, and he sent me that book, and wow, we've got to get this into print. Well, today we're going to be talking about why the New World Order. And it all has to do with prophecy. Did you know that the book of Revelation and Revelation 6 tells us, don't touch the oil? Yeah, don't touch the oil and the wine. And why would God combine those two resources? I guess wine is a resource. Even Jesus drank wine, not to get drunk, but just it was just something that everybody drank back then with your dinner. Still do that. When I was over in Italy, I was stationed there for 2 years in the Air Force, and everybody drank wine for dinner. Kids, older people. I suppose some of them drank it to get drunk, but I never saw wine being sold in the little bars. I walked down the street, see those little bitty sidewalk bars, and they were all drinking liqueurs and liquors. But the wine was drank by everybody. Why not touch the oil and the wine? I think this is something that the New World Order is going to be pushing very hard too, by the way. You know, I was not surprised. I was recently reading an article about the great wine coming out of the Rothschild winery in California. They've got a Rothschild winery. You can actually visit it. By the way, this very strange, mysterious architecture at the Rothschild winery where they make wine in California. Isn't that interesting? He would be involved in wine. And yet God talked about this 1,900 years ago in the book of Revelation. Don't touch the oil and the wine. And then oil. Did you know that Rothschild is very much an oil man? Or maybe he is the oil man. Nobody knows how much money Lord Rothschild, the fourth baron of the Rothschild dynasty who lives over in Great Britain. Nobody knows how much money the man has. But much of it is tied up in trust and combines and all kinds of interlocking groups involved in the production and the sale of oil and gas. Rothschild is, oh, he's got banks too, Goldman Sachs and all kinds, Barclays banks. He's, all over the world he owns banks. Now he's grooming his son. He's got a son named Nathaniel, you know. He's all involved in this stuff too. But here in America, we have David Rockefeller. He's a very old gentleman now. He's in his 90s. I don't know how much longer he'll be here than he gets to go be with his master for the rest of his born days. That's down in hell, of course. David Rockefeller. They say they're the two richest men in the world, Rockefeller and Rothschild. Now, Rockefeller has a lot of money in banks. You know, he owned Chase Manhattan Bank. He sold it, I think, to the Japanese, or at least he said he did. He sells all this stuff, but he keeps controlling interest in it. Did you know that back in the early 1900s, the Supreme Court of the United States took up a case that said that Rockefeller owned the oil of the United States as a cartel? It was a monopoly. He wouldn't let anybody else produce oil. He'd drive them out of business with his prices. And the Supreme Court said this is definitely a monopoly. It's a cartel. It's unconstitutional. It must be broken up. And they broke up Standard Oil. Now there's a Standard Oil of New Jersey, a Standard Oil of California. But Mobil, Exxon, all of those came out of Standard Oil. Now, he broke up those companies, broke into companies, I said. But he kept the ownership. You know, he hid it under certain, there's all kinds of legal ways. You know, I'm sorry, I'd spend years here trying to get through all the labyrinth of legalisms that he used to keep control of all the oil. But, around 1916, 1917, the two great oil barons of the world, Rockefeller and Rothschild, went head-to-head in competition. That was Lord James Rothschild back then, and the original Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller. Boy, they batted heads. See, Rockefeller had all the oil in South America, Central America, and the United States, and a few sites overseas, and Rothschild had it all in Europe and Asia, and Africa, and the Middle East. And they were vying for world control. Well, John D. Rockefeller, you know, the price of oil had dropped to 10 cents a barrel. What is it now? About $100 a barrel? Back during the boom time of 2007, it went up to $142 a barrel. Well, Rockefeller was at one point getting only 10 cents a barrel for his oil. Now, he was still making money, but that wasn't enough money. Because Rockefeller had a little motto that he used in his life that he told everybody about. He says, now remember, he's the greatest capitalist in the world, wasn't he? He was a capitalist. But Rockefeller said, competition is a sin. He was a member of the American Baptist Church, by the way. You Baptists, I think some of you still believe that today. Competition is a sin. Now, I can't find that anywhere in the Bible, but anyway, he had his own his own doctrine, you might say. And my oil should not be at 10 cents a barrel. So he's going to run out of business enough companies that, you know, only his company produced oil. But he had Rothschild to contend with, and Rothschild kept bringing the price of oil down. They were chasing each other downward. Well, wouldn't they have been better off if they teamed up together, if they united? If Rockefeller and Rothschild put their oil interests together, they would basically control the whole world, and they could move the world toward a new world order. A Rothschild, Rockefeller, or you can put it the other way, Rockefeller, Rothschild, the double R's, could control the world if they worked together hand in hand. But they were in competition. Or were they? You know, I've covered this for a long, long time, this issue. And today I'm going to give you the ultimate on it. I'm going to tell you exactly the way it is. You'll want to listen to this over and over, this audio tape or CD that you get today, or listen to us on radio, on our internet radio or WWCR. Because I want to talk about the fact that Rockefeller and Rothschild have united again. They united back in 1917 and 1920. Rockefeller and Rothschild got together, and their uniting was over the Russian oil and the Russian republics. Independent, supposedly, but Russia just gobbled them up. For example, the greatest oil-producing field in the world was the prosperous port city of Baku, in the Republic of Azerbaijan. Now, I know all these words, the Baku, oil fields, in Azerbaijan. Where's that at, you say? Well, it's a republic south of the main body of Russia, but Vladimir Lenin gobbled it up in 1920. He took control of it, and it became part of the USSR, the Russian Empire. Whatever happened to Baku's oil fields? The Baku oil fields, the greatest producing oil fields in the world in Azerbaijan. Taken over by Lenin, but Lenin set them aflame. He sent one of his agents, a man named Joseph Stalin, down there, and he and his bandidos, I guess you could call them that, bandidos, murdered hundreds, thousands of people, including all the oil engineers, chemists, producers, and he burned down the oil fields. Why would Lenin do something like that? He was the new dictator of Russia, of the Soviet Union, and they needed oil, they needed money, they needed industry. Why would he burn his own oil fields down when he took Azerbaijan? Why would you conquer a nation, and the first thing you do is burn all their oil fields up? Well, then it had a lot to do with Rockefeller and Rothschild. You see, much of the oil in Azerbaijan was being produced by a third competitor, a man named Alfred Nobel. You heard of the Nobel Peace Prize? Well, that's where it came from. The very wealthy Nobel family of Sweden. He launched the Baku oil boom back in 1873. That's what made Nobel one of the richest men in the world. And soon, huge oil tankers had been built. And they were being parked there in Azerbaijan, and they were sailing the fleet across the world. Huge oil tankers. That's where it all came from. The first oil tanker was used in Azerbaijan. Now, we Americans don't know much about that. We think that the first oil came from up in the Pennsylvania, and then the second big oil find was in Spindletop in Beaumont, Texas. And it was. It was big. Still have oil there today. You can visit the little town called Gladys, Texas. They built a little model town, and they still have these old wooden derricks up and everything. And Beaumont went from 5,000 population to 105,000 in about 2 months. How would you like to be in a town that was booming like that in the early 20th century? Rockefeller sent one of his agents down, said, buy up everything that you can. Buy up all the land. And he did. The agent's name was, well, his name was House. Mandel House. They call him Colonel House. He was Rothschild, Rockefeller's, sometimes I get the names Rockefeller and Rothschild mixed up. That will be understandable to you as we go on in our program. But Rockefeller, John D. Rockefeller, sent Colonel House down to Texas. He was a Texan anyway. He said, go down there and buy it all up. And he did. Did you know he even founded an order of the Illuminati? I actually have the certificate. That's right. I have the certificate where Lord House, well, he worked for Lord. You might say Rockefeller. Oh, no, that's Lord Rothschild. See, there I'm already getting them mixed up. Colonel Mandel House, of course, was never a real colonel. But remember back in the days they used to call all these people colonels? Seemed like every Southern guy would run around and say, I'm a colonel. Never even was in the military. Remember the colonel that started Southern Kentucky Fried Chicken, Colonel Sanders? They said he never was a colonel. Colonel Parker, he was the agent for Elvis Presley. I don't think he was a colonel either. And neither was Colonel House, but Colonel House got to be very rich. And he loved Rockefeller because Rockefeller was his sponsor. And Rockefeller backed Woodrow Wilson, put him in the White House. And he made Colonel Mandel House his, like his super, super politician in that White House. He ran the whole United States, even the whole world after World War I. Oh, you've never heard of Colonel Mandel House? Well, read about him. He wrote a book, a novel. It talks about the United States going to become a socialist country. He talked about the administration, how it would change, how there would be a revolution in the United States, and yes, the United States would be a socialist country. That was his preferred system of government. He worked right in the White House. He told the Secretary of State, Secretary of War, he told everybody what to do. He told Woodrow Wilson, who was a sick old man, being blackmailed by Rockefeller, he told him what to do. But first he came down to Texas, and he proved his worth to Rockefeller by starting an Order of the Illuminati chapter, of which he became a member, and I have his certificate. And he did well because Rockefeller prospered. Now, there were other people, you know, that had to do, Padilla and other people down in Spindletop Oil Field in Texas. But Rockefeller got the most from it because Colonel House was down there working for him. You know, the Bible says a lot about conspiracies. It does. Now, listen to this from the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, verse 21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. Boy, isn't that amazing? Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. I suppose that Rockefeller and Rothschild, when they unite, they just think they own the whole world. They were competing, and now they're working together. Now, they both have the same boss. Who is that? Well, his name is Satan, or Lucifer. He says to Rockefeller, Rothschild, y'all, I want y'all to work together. I want you to unite. And boy, did they ever, in April of 1920, Lenin, following orders from the United Rockefeller-Rothschild Cartel. That's right, they got together back in 1920, even before that, actually. First, they had their banker friends, Schiff, Warburg, Morgan, etc., fund and sponsor the Bolshevik Communist Revolution of 1917. Their Jewish puppets, Lenin, Trotsky, and Stalin, of course, who some say was a Jew and others don't, they soon reigned over the vast Soviet Russia Empire. The only republic that they really wanted to own but didn't was Azerbaijan. But it was right next to the huge Soviet Union, Russia. It was nothing for them to go in there and capture it. Now, you would have thought the United States, and that's the way they are now, the United States doesn't let Russia do anything. We're telling Putin, stay out of Georgia. Stay out of Ukraine. We're putting NATO bases in all of Eastern Europe. We've got missiles over there warning Putin. Well, it seemed that Lenin had a lot of friends in power in Washington, D.C. at the time. He went into Azerbaijan and took it over. And he had, with a masterful stroke, had taken over the largest oil field in the world, the Baku. Could have made Russia the most powerful country on earth. But he had a problem. You see, Rockefeller and Rothschild had been competitors, and they figured if we unite together, we can make a lot of money. We can raise the price of oil, whatever we say it's going to be, and everybody has to go along with it, or they'll be stuck in the mud. Their vehicles or machinery, whatever, you know, uses oil. All other competition was squelched, but the Nobel Oil Company in Baku was their big competitor, the third competitor. They needed to run the Baku Oil Company out of business. And they used Lenin and Russia to do it. Vladimir Lenin and his bandidos and his other troops went in there to Azerbaijan and conquered it. And the United States didn't say a word. And Germany didn't say a word. And Great Britain and France. No one in the whole world said anything when Lenin was taking over all these republics, calling them Soviet republics. I bet that really made the people of Azerbaijan happy. You see, Azerbaijan was becoming one of the most prosperous countries in the world at the time. They had all these oil tankers coming there. The people, read about Baku, the city, the famous city. Well, the solution for Rockefeller and Rothschild was to unite. They would geographically carve up the whole world, the two barons, Rockefeller and Rothschild. Each would have their separate, well-defined shares. Moreover, limits would be put on oil produced globally so as to keep the market price as high as possible. Under this arrangement, both Rockefeller and Rothschild would benefit. And all other competition would be squelched, put out of business, including the Nobel Oil Company in Baku. But they needed Azerbaijan. They needed to control the politics of Baku. And so they used Lenin. It could be that they took over Russia mainly for the oil. Oh? Why did America conquer Iraq? Well, George W. Bush told us it was to bring democracy to the Middle East. Oh, sure. That worked out really well, didn't it? We hung Saddam Hussein. We never could find his weapons of mass destruction, but he hung anyway. And it turns out that Iraq is the number two or number three producing oil-producing a country in the whole world. And Rothschild was given all of his oil. You didn't know that, did you? Well, get my video, Die, America, Die. It'll show you how Rothschild and BP Petroleum, BP, the same ones that polluted the whole Gulf of Mexico back a few years ago, when one of their oil derricks out there began leaking, filled up the whole Gulf with oil before you knew it. That was BP. That's owned by Rothschild. Now it is Rockefeller, Rothschild. I'm going to tell you how that happened in a few minutes. But remember, I told you the two names get a little mixed up here. Rothschild. Rothschild owns BP. And BP went into Iraq shortly after we had conquered it, and they got a special deal contract. They're buying the oil for $2 a barrel. They have no competition. After all, competition is a sin. Remember what Rockefeller said. Well, Rothschild got the oil for $2. But he's selling it to China for a lot more than that. And they're bringing on these big tankers coming to the Mediterranean, and they're coming in the coast there to Israel. And they're going by oil pipeline across Syria. Ah, yes, that's why they want to control Syria. And across Iraq through Israel into the Mediterranean. And then BP takes the oil and sells it to China. Rothschild is benefiting from what America did in Iraq. Now, people can't believe that. Rothschild owns all the oil of Iraq. He does now, $2 a barrel. Well, let me not stretch it. He only owns 80% of the oil. That was what the contract called for, 80%. Now, ISIS controls that area up there. ISIS controls it. The terrorist army now controls Rockefeller's oil fields. Oh, sure. They leave those alone. ISIS doesn't mind killing a million Christians, maybe, but they're going to leave that all alone, aren't they, friends? They don't want to mess with Rothschild. In fact, Rothschild is funding the ISIS group through the United States and Israel and Great Britain, of course, where he is. Well, so Rockefeller and Rothschild said, let's stop all this competition. Let's get together. Let's carve out the geographical areas of the world where you're going to be in charge, where I'm going to be in charge, where we're going to sell our oil. But first, we have to kick out Mr. Nobel in Baku. And let's just close down Russia and the Soviet Union as an oil-producing country. Uh-oh. That's what they told Lenin. Lenin, you can build up your economy, you can do whatever you want, but you're not going to be the oil producer of the world. We're not going to give you all the equipment. We're not going to give you all the big tankers. You're not going to produce this oil. All the oil in Azerbaijan is going to be closed off, cut off, burned up. Well, that didn't burn all the oil into the ground, but it sure did the derricks above it. And so, Stalin was sent by Lenin to plunder Baku, to kill thousands and thousands of people there, rich people. Now, oil company executives and engineers at Baku were summarily executed by the Bolsheviks. I got a picture of it. I actually published this, my special report, Rothschild, Rockefeller, Lenin, and the Destruction of Baku's Oil Fields. When did I do this report? In August of 2010. Lenin declared, listen to this, an official week of plunder. Can you believe that? He declared a week of plunder. And Woodrow Wilson didn't do diddly squat about it? Why, that's almost impossible, isn't it? Or is it? Hundreds of thousands of people were massacred. The oil fields were torched. Homes and mansions in Baku from the oil executives. They were ransacked. Women and children were raped and killed. Lenin brought his red terror to Baku, to Azerbaijan. Communist monsters, Stalin, Lenin, Trotsky. They were installed in power with the financial backing of Rockefeller, Rothschild, and their Jewish banker associates. Baku's oil fields went up in flames. What happened? It caused a global oil scarcity. Those oil tankers were no longer going out from Baku to the rest of the world. In 1920, Baku was closed down, and Russia was told how much oil it could produce. Rockefeller would go over to Russia periodically and consult with the Kremlin and tell them how much oil. Here's how much oil you're going to be able to produce. Now, you don't think that the world's number one capitalist, Rockefeller, of course, Rothschild is also in that category. You're going to tell me, aren't you, my friends, that Rockefeller, he couldn't just go to Russia and tell them what to do. Why, he'd be shot in the streets, wouldn't he? The Bolsheviks, the communists would get him. Oh, yeah. Look it up, my friends. He, John D., and then David Rockefeller were considered like kings when they visited Russia. Oh, they were taken to the, you know, five-star hotels and treated like kings and given everything they wanted, brought to the Kremlin in their chauffeured limousines. They were the masters of Moscow. Rothschild, Rockefeller. The whole Russian Empire was built by Jewish power. Jewish power. Rothschild killed, didn't physically kill them, but the Nobel brothers and their oil tankers were out of business. There wasn't enough oil in the world anymore. It was not coming out of Baku. But Rothschild's oil fields were operating, and Rockefeller's fields were operating, and boy, did they ever become rich. They became rich. Oil, let us admit, folks, fuels the world. I know high tech is powerful. High tech is got billions and billions of dollars of stock market power. But you can't beat oil for money. And they've been driving up the price just lately. Now, I did a audio tape report on this, put it on radio. You can order it. It's called Planet Petroleum. In 2010, I did it. It's called Planet Petroleum, The Great Scarcity Hoax and the Elitist, that's Rockefeller Rothschild, Plan to Control the World by Controlling Oil. And on this tape, this investigative report, Planet Petroleum. Now, remember, this was when everybody was told that oil was reaching a peak. Oh, peak oil. We don't have enough oil. Remember, what's his name, the guy from California that funded the Oklahoma State football team there? Yeah, T. Boone Pickens. He was telling everybody, we only have a finite amount of oil. We can only produce like so many millions of barrels a day. Oh, the whole world has got a shortage of oil. The price has to go up. It's going to go up over $200 a barrel. It's got to, says T. Boone Pickens. You know, even his name sounds like a comedy name. The guy's a clown. In fact, we've got all kinds of oil. It's coming out our ears, our nose, and other receptacles, I suppose. Planet Petroleum. I told you about the oil from fracking that North Dakota and South Dakota had become the biggest oil-producing states. That it was also being found in Wyoming, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Utah, Montana, and yes, Oklahoma and Texas. And it was going to grow big, 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 bigger because the New World Order was going to use oil to rule the world. This had been decided. I told you about it. Planet Petroleum. Get it. You won't believe what it says. Exxon Mobil. All of these, the Zionist billionaires are controlling this oil. That's why America talks about Mystery Babylon as a great commercial colossus in Revelation 18. It is a commercial colossus, and it is now trying to crash the whole world. The world is built on oil. It's here. And the New World Order is being built on it. You've got to know about this, friends. I'm Tex Morse. We're going to take a break now, and then we're going to come back. I'm Tex Mars. This is Power of Prophecy. You're listening to my special report today, Rockefeller and Rothschild Unite. Well, hello again, friends. I'm Tex Mars. I've told you about some resources on today's program, and you need these resources to really know what's going on in the world. First of all is my CD or audio tape, specify which one you want, just $10, and $5 shipping and handling. Planet Petroleum. Now, you'll discover why the Zionist billionaires and their marionettes at ExxonMobil, Shell, BP, they're using oil as a weapon. The United States invaded Iraq for its oil. Oil. That's why Dick Cheney met with the oil men and then would not produce their report. He came out with a plan of how they were going to use the Iraq oil. But he refused to give that plan to the American people. Many people sued Dick Cheney at the time, but the courts let him get away with it. Huge and abundant stores of oil now exist under the earth and in the seabeds. And we, the people, own it. Do you understand that, friends? We own this oil. Did you know that most of the land of the United States is not owned by people? The title is controlled by states and the federal government. The state government and federal government. If you're in Colorado, Texas, in all these areas, California, you've got so much oil, it would pay all the taxes, pay for all of the benefits of the people for probably 1,000 years. I conservatively estimate, I got on my handy little calculator, and I estimated that every man, woman, and child in America is worth at least $5 million. But they keep it bottled up. Rockefeller and Rothschild have kept the oil bottled up throughout the world. And they were telling us, we're running out of oil, peak oil. We're so sorry. It's a diminishing resource. The price must go up. We've got to be careful. We've got to be environmentalist. We've got to turn off our lights. And you can only take a bath once a week. I heard some Hollywood star telling some talk show host that she only took a shower, a bath once a week. She wanted to conserve water. You got to conserve water. Friends, if you've ever taken a little boat ride on the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean, you'll see how big the ocean is. I think we got plenty of water. We got plenty of oil, too. A lot of oil. They're just fear-mongers trying to scare you. Don't touch the oil. This is a weapon they're using to regulate our lives. Huge and abundant stores of oil now exist under the earth and in the oceans. In fact, I printed in August of 2010 in Power Prophecy Newsletter, I published this article entitled Astonishing Amount of Oil and Gas Off Louisiana. Subtitle, It's Raining Hydrocarbons in the Gulf. This came from GeoTimes Petroleum Geology. There's a newspaper called GeoTimes Petroleum Geology. Now, only the highfalutin oil men, the top people, the oil engineers and so forth, know about this. It says, below the Gulf of Mexico, hydrocarbons, that's oil and gas, flow upward through an intricate network of conduits and reservoirs. On their way up, and he goes on to talk about it, eventually most escape to the ocean, but they can be captured. This is happening now, not millions of years ago, says Larry Catlis, a chemical geologist at Cornell University. Basically, what this article says, by the way, it was published March the 7th, 2005. That was when you were told, you were being told, we're running out of oil. In fact, America gets 50% of its oil, 50% from the Saudi Arabians, from Qatar, from the United Arab Emirates, from the Middle East. They control us. We have to do what the Saudi sheikhs tell us to do. Ooh, they run America, the Saudi sheikhs. They've got all the oil. We have to go over and beg for it. 50% of our oil comes from there. Why did we buy all this oil from Saudi Arabia, from Kuwait, from all of those sheikh-friendly countries? Why did we buy the oil when we had it in America? Because Israel wanted us to buy the oil there. Israel and Rothschild and Rockefeller wanted us to buy the oil for the Middle East. If we did, we would see how important the Middle East was. The Middle East is so important. Why, without the Middle East, American industry would crunch, 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 dry up. We couldn't run our automobiles. We couldn't air condition our homes. We've got to have that oil flowing in from Saudi Arabia, from Kuwait, from the United Arab Emirates. It's important. We're running out of oil in the United States, they told us that. Remember all those reports and stories and scare people and, oh, the whole world's running out of oil. What are we going to do? There's going to be oil wars, et cetera, et cetera. this one article in 2005 told the truth. But it was published not in the Los Angeles Times, not in the New York Times, not in the Houston Chronicle, not in your newspaper. It was published in GeoTimes Petroleum Geology, March 7th, 2005. Now read what it says. It says the United States has more oil reserves and gas, by the way, than all of the rest of the world's nations combined. And it also said there's not a reason to buy even one single barrel outside the United States. We have our own oil. We're rich. That's what I told you. You're worth $5 million. Go get your bank account. What does the banker say you have? $50, $75, $300? Maybe you've been saving. Maybe you got $10,000 or $20,000. I don't know. Why, you could have $5 million if your government turned over all its oil lands and divided them equally among the people. $5 million. You're rich. You're, well, they keep it locked up. Now, you notice that for years and years, they argued and argued over this little piece of land in Alaska. If they opened up those that little bit of land to oil fields, it's just a couple of hundred acres. If they opened up, we'd have so much oil coming from Alaska. We'd have enough oil for the United States. Oh, it'd be wonderful. But the environmentalists wouldn't let us, would they? You might kill an elk. You might, you know, I don't know. I guess a polar bear might suffer. I don't know if they have polar bears up there, but anyway. Forget Alaska. We have enough oil down here in the lower 48. We got South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, Wyoming. Poor states, weren't they? But now they're rich. Now you go up there and drive an oil truck. You make $100,000 a year driving an oil truck. And as far as they've got all kind of Mexican laborers there, there's nowhere for them to live. There's no stores to buy from. There's thousands of immigrants going up there for jobs in the oil fields. And here in Texas, I was listening to a man on the radio the other weekend. Actually, it was about 13 weeks ago, I suppose. But he said he was, you know, on a talk show. He was an oil executive down in South Texas. He said, you know, in the last 3 years, now listen to this, folks, we have discovered more oil in South Texas than we knew even existed in the entire United States before. More oil in South Texas than we knew existed in the entire United States. Say what? South Texas has oil? And he says, and we've reopened the oil fields up in Midland, Texas. And they've got all kind of oil up there. They closed down those oil fields. They said, no more oil. It's all empty. We've run out of oil. Sorry. Now they've reopened them. Oh, yes. They got plenty of oil. Did you know there's a Texas Oil and Gas Commission? Actually, they call it the Railroad Commission. It's misnamed. I wanted to discover what the Oil and Gas Commission did. I was a professor at the University of Texas at Austin, and I went up and I visited them. They asked me to do a special report, and it went to various Texas government officials, my special report on oil in Africa. I did a report on the oil in Africa. I was at the University of Texas at Austin. And I named the countries in Africa that had the most oil and where we would be able to get oil from in the coming decades. And I was told now it was explained to me that this report is to go to all these Texas officials, the governor and all that, to let them know why we needed to make Africa our friend. Well, my report came back and I said, well, actually, we have more oil in Texas than all of Africa has. But the Texas Railroad Commission keeps it all bottled up. It's controlled by the oil interest. The chairman of my department liked to flip. He said, we can't show this to the governor. I said, well, it's the truth. He said, well, we want a report that told us why we needed to be interested in Africa. We've got to have good relations in Africa because they've got so much oil. I said, yeah, we have more oil here in Texas than, you know, enough for the whole United States. They just keep it bottled up. And I understand my report. You know, he got it, and he said, well, thank you very much, Tex. And after I left, he you know, took his pen and redacted, I guess they call it now, lined through a few paragraphs. He sent it on. You know, I didn't even know what happened in the final report, but the president of the university was named Lorraine Rogers, and I met her at a little social one time, and I was introduced to her. This is Tex Mars. She said, "Oh, you're the one that wrote that report on oil in Africa." It was fascinating. I said, "Well, thank you." It had gotten to the president of the university. But they wouldn't let me tell. They, you know, I was in the Air Force at the time. I was an officer teaching in the ROTC department. But they knew that I was an intellectual that had studied the oil system and all that. But I went to visit the Railroad Commission, the very nice people there. And they limit the amount of oil. You can't go out and just find some land has oil on and put a derrick and start producing oil. You've got to get their permission to drill. And they disapprove more than they approve, I'll tell you. They keep the oil limited. That's just in Texas. They also have an oil and gas commission, a similar creature in California. That's how they control everything. You can't just go out there and find oil. You can't just start producing it unless they want you to. I'm telling you the truth. Folks, you can't even plant a bushel of peanuts in Oklahoma unless the food people, the agriculture department, has to give you a license to produce them. You can't sell them on the market. You can't sell your milk. It's incredible. We're controlled. By the way, I want to read to you the Revelation. Revelation 6:6. I told you what it says about oil and wine. It's amazing that Rothschild owns this winery in California. Listen to what was said in Revelation 6:6. Get that number. 6:6, Revelation. "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine.'" Now the bankers and the oil men are drinking their wine. They're breaking open some bottle. Here's this bottle of wine costs $40,000, I read in the paper. $40,000 for a single bottle of wine. I guess it has to be planted just right. It has to be a special year and all this nonsense. Then they put it down in their cave or wherever their you know, climate controlled, you know, down below the ground. And they pull it out. And they'll open it up, take the cork out for $40,000. They drink it up. I suppose they're rich enough they can do that. I do the same thing with Coca-Cola, don't you, folks? Crack off that old lid, drink it down. That's my 35 cents or 50 or 25, whatever. You know. That's my contribution to the world's economy. Planet Petroleum, CD or audio tape, $10, and $5 shipping and handling. I want you to have your own copy of Planet Petroleum. Here's how to get it. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, or texmars.com. TEXEMARRS.com. Send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, PATTERSON Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Well, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. There's different interpretations of that. I'm just telling you what it says. You can interpret it the way you want, but I'm telling you what's happening in the world. Now, we're on the verge of the New World Order coming into power, and Rothschild and Rockefeller are very busy. Now, again, I want to remind you, what is the number one product in the world that every industrial nation must have just to survive? Answer, oil and gas. Which nation is now admitted, and confessed to be the world's top oil and gas producer? Answer, the United States of America. Since 2010, when I wrote Planet Petroleum, they said we were energy poor. We need to buy from the Saudi Arabians and the others. Oh, woe is us. That's why we have a fragile economy, the oil. We don't have enough of it. Suddenly they admitted we got oil coming out of our ears. Oil is everywhere. Well, BP came and closed up the Gulf of Mexico. That's okay. We've got oil everywhere. It's everywhere, folks. They can't build enough pipelines. There's a controversy over the XL pipeline coming in from Canada. That oil is going to go flying out of in tankers over to China and Russia. Did you know there's this law that says you cannot sell gas, American gas, to any country? The oil men got the U.S. Congress to pass a law. You cannot produce gas in America and sell it overseas. Oil, yes, but not gas. Gas comes up as a gas, not as a liquid. But now that America is admittedly the number one producer of oil in the whole world, and they just told us this in the last 3 or 4 years, suddenly we're rich. That's why the economy is prospering. Well, it's not as prospering much as it could because Americans don't have jobs. But except for the jobs, the economy is prospering. The rich people are still getting richer. Wall Street is still going up, 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 while people don't have jobs. Now, why is our company, our country rich? Because of high tech and because of oil. Because they have now admitted it has been decided by Rockefeller and Rothschild that they're going to allow America to be the world's top oil producer. That's why. And they let their puppet, their marionette, Barack Obama, in on it, of course. Now they have this terrible new thing called fracking. They send chemicals and water down under the earth, and it breaks up the oil there, and it comes up, the oil and the gas. Now, the environmentalists don't like fracking. They say it's going to cause earthquakes and do all kind of damage to our planet. But the environmentalists are big in the Obama administration, aren't they? But they've been told to shut their mouths by somebody. Fracking is going to continue. The oil industry is going to continue in America. Meanwhile, other countries, for example, Petroleo Brazil is one of the largest oil companies in the world. They said 5 years ago, Petroleo Brazil is going to be like Exxon. It's going to be gigantic. The number one oil company in the world. It's growing. Why? Because they found all this oil off the coast of Brazil in South America. Who do you think owns that? Who do you think controls Brazil Oil Company? Oh, the people do. It's a government run. Shut up. Come on. You know who runs it. Rothschild. Rockefeller. Suddenly, the oil companies down there are not saying anything, and the oil is not being produced. They've been told, you're not going to have all that oil. Oh, we're going to give you some. We're going to let you get rich. You're not going to become the world's top oil producer. That's America. America has been chosen. We're like the chosen ones of Israel. The chosen, not chosen people, the chosen oil men. The chosen bankers. They're the ones that have this oil. The chosen government, the elite. The environmentalists, shut up. Brazil, shut up. You can produce oil, but only as much as we tell you to. Now, Mexico. Mexico has a problem. They got 160, 180 million people there, and they're all poor. They have an oil company down there called Pemex, Petroleo Mexico. Pemex. Now, Pemex decided several years ago they were going to start opening up their oil. For some reason, it said in the newspaper, the Mexican elite had not been producing oil as much as they wanted. But now it's going to be opened up. Well, this was the solution. Those Mexicans wouldn't want to come here to America. The immigration problem was going to be solved. Millions of Mexicans would be employed by oil companies down in Mexico because of Pemex being a major. They said there's so much oil in Mexico and all on the coast there. And after all, they all also own the Gulf of Mexico too. At least half of it, don't they? It does the Gulf of Mexico border on Mexico? Yes. That's why they call it the Gulf of Mexico. Think of all the oil there. I read you from the article in the GeoTimes Petroleum Geology publication about how much oil and gas are down there. Enough to last thousands of years. Mexico is rich. But, Rockefeller and Rothschild said, no, you're not. We're not going to let you take your oil. We want a North American Union. We want the people of Mexico to immigrate to the United States. We want to bring all the world's nations together as a new world order. We don't want Mexico to be rich because your people will want to stay there. Now, you've never heard this before on your radio, have you, my friends? I'm telling the truth. Mexico is a very rich country. You can drive for 100 miles and not see a man. I mean, they've got all this resource, all these mountains, and all this territory and oil. Pemex. If they produced all the oil, well, I've been hearing a lot of things happen down there. It seems like the refineries just keep getting broke down and are closed down all the time. And, you know, they just haven't been able to produce as much oil as they wanted. So the poor Mexican peasants come across the border. Their children come across the border, too. They're raped. They're coming down on the freedom train, and they're raped. Down in Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, they're all trying to come to the United States. They got plenty of oil, too. Plenty of gas. But Mexico is the richest. It's got oil up the kazoot. Sort of a term that I use here, up the kazoot. I don't know what that means, but they got plenty of oil. Now, Rockefeller and Rothschild, let me tell you something, my friends. You say, they're still united? Well, they sort of had a friendly little, you know, separation after the Baku oil was all burned up. And the Soviet Union was told, you can't have any oil. They had to start to get along without most of their oil until the Soviet Iron Curtain fell. In 1984 or so, guess what? Along comes Gorbachev and Reagan. And suddenly the Berlin Wall fell. And then Moscow says, we're going to have a democracy over here. And then Yeltsin came to power and then Putin. And guess what? Suddenly the oil taps were turned on in Russia. Suddenly they became oil rich again. And now the number one industry in Russia, their whole economy is based on what? Oil. Oil. Russian oil. Why they're producing so much oil there, they're a competitor for the United States. Did you hear what I just said? Russia is now a competitor for the United States. The elite Illuminati decided to open up Russia's oil, and they did. But I believe they've now decided to close it down. So they sent in their troops and their covert army and so forth, Israel and the United States, and now Israel is running Ukraine. Ukraine was buying all of its oil and gas from Russia. But now we're saying, we'll give you our oil and gas, America. That's why we're in the Ukraine. We're going to sell them our oil and gas. And, of course, Europe also buys billions of dollars in gas and oil from Russia. But America's telling Europe, change that system as soon as you can. Right now, they have the pipelines coming from Russia. They have to use the Russian oil. They don't have pipelines coming all the way from America. There are no tankers coming from America to Europe. Remember, we cannot sell gas to anybody. But wait. Obama changed that. Just this last year, new regulations came out. Remember, he can sign an executive order and change things. There's a law that says no gas will be sold from the United States to the rest of the world. But Obama changed that. He signed an executive order that said, I will allow gas companies to sell gas. Did you know that they're building in Sabine Pass, Texas, right down here on the coast of the Gulf of Mexico? They're building one of the largest refineries in the world. They're building it right now. It's a gas liquefaction plant. They're turning gasoline into a liquid, or gas, that is, comes up from the earth. All this gas they're producing down in South Texas and elsewhere is being piped down to Sabine Pass, and they're bringing in these huge tankers from all over the world, and they're parking right there at the liquefaction plant. And now they're building a second one, I understand, in Louisiana on the coast. We're going to have, suddenly, gas liquefaction. We turn gas into a liquid, then we can sell it to the whole world. America wants to sell it to Europe. America wants to sell it to everybody. Ukraine, Georgia. America's been chosen. We're going to get richer. Now, I know you've been told the economy is going to crash. It may crash for a little while, but it's going to be built back up by the Fed Reserve. They're going to start printing the dollars again if it crashes. Don't worry, it'll be back. The little people will not. You and I will be crushed by the economy. But the oil men will get richer and richer and richer. And Putin, they're telling him to get in line. We'll let you produce as much oil as we want you to produce. Now, who are the oil men saying this? Is it the chief executive officer of Exxon, of Shell, of Mobil? No. It's the bankers that control the oil companies. And who controls them? It's Rockefeller and Rothschild. Now, they have been loosely organized and have been cooperating for all these years. They first worked out their little, you know, pity-pat arguments and got together back in 1920 when the Baku oil fields were burned to the ground by their agents, the Bolsheviks. But now that they're near the New World Order, they got to work closer than ever, don't they? And so I was not surprised. I was not surprised on May 30th, 2012, in Business Insider newspaper. I read a lot of strange things. I told you about it, didn't I? You know, just, that's That's my business. That's what I do. I protect you for God, don't I? I tell you what's happening in the world. I tell you the truth. And I tell you how prophecy relates to it. Well, I was online. I went to Business Insider newspaper. Had an interesting headline, May 30th, 2012. Listen to this headline. Dynastic wealth merges as Rockefeller and Rothschild families unite.
Oh.
Let the conspiracies begin. That's what the headline says. In my September 2014 newsletter, that if you don't have now, you're going to be getting very soon. If you want a copy of it, phone us here at the ministry. Please wait till after the first week of September. If you're getting the newsletter, you'll get it in the mail. But if you don't get it, phone us, and I'll send you a copy of this. Now, let me read it to you again. Business Insider, article by Simon Black, a Jew, dated May 30th, 2012, says dynastic wealth merges as Rockefeller and Rothschild families unite. Let the conspiracies begin. End of quote. Well, that's incredible. The world, I'm going to read to you, the world has a long history of family dynasties that maintain power across generations of ancestors. Names like Habsburg, Bourbon, and Romanov inspire visions of royalty and legacy. One of the best modern comparisons would be the Rockefeller and Rothschild families, who are now attempting to combine their assets and become an Uber, that's U-B-E-R, dynasty. The New York Times reports. See, this article was in Business Insider, but it originally came out in the New York Times. Here's what the New York Times said. Quote, two of the world's best-known banking families are combining forces. After RIT Capital Partners, the investment trust chaired by Jacob Rothschild, said on Wednesday that it was buying a stake in the investment and wealth management firm Rockefeller Financial Services. They need to work closer, they said. They need to merge their operations. Before, it was sort of loosely organized working together. Now they want to work close together. The dynastic wealth merges. Well, now, where did let the conspiracies begin? Of course, Business Insider said there's a lot of people that are conspiracy theorists that believe that Rockefeller and Rothschild control the world. Ha, ha, ha. Yes. The world is set, my friends, for a reordering of oil and gas priorities. The elite intend for the United States and its ally, Israel, to install its new world order based on what? Its vast oil wealth. Friends, Israel and America, they're a two-headed monster. We're a colony. They're not a colony of ours. They may be smaller, but they control us. And their goal is to crush the Russian oil economy while promoting America's. Now, you may say, whoopee. We're going to have a great oil economy. That's why Wall Street hasn't collapsed. That's why we're doing better. That's why housing is selling more. That's why people are driving, you know, all kind of new cars today. It's great, isn't it? Well, friends, it's not touching. There's a lot of poor people, too. A lot of poor people out there not getting the riches. But yes, the rich are getting richer. And Rockefeller and Rothschild are uniting. And oil will be produced in whatever quantities they say. Right now, they're opening up the oil spigots. Let me tell you why. Because the whole world is having financial problems. Because banks around the world are having problems. And they won't. Everything to get better. It's their world, isn't it? It's their new world order economy. And they've united. And now oil is going to plunge the whole world forward. And Revelation 6:6 says, see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. This is Tex Mars. My friends, you've been listening to another edition of Power of Prophecy. My prayer is you'll tune in each week and discover God's prophetic truth.